Action Park Media.
All right, welcome to Ramble On, the official podcast of the television show that I swear to God is so freaking good, and I swear there's 250 people contributed to the show, and I love every single one of them, and there's just one cuck that I fucking hate. But anyway, I want to address real quickly. There's some, I know you're out there, and I know you're listening, and I know things are working in this business. I think I might have put something about this on an Entourage, but things are working when you have like people who are obsessed with you. And I have someone who's obsessed with me, which is great. Now, I wish it was a beautiful woman if I was single. Sarah, you know I don't want any beautiful women. But there's some dude who's just jumping on, reviewing on Apple and doing all this stuff. And so he wrote, you know, two reviews, one on Victory and one on Ramble On, but on Doug Ellen's Ramble On, which is what this is called. And if you don't like it, obviously you don't have to listen to it. I don't get paid for it anyway. So, but he wrote less Doug Ellen. He wants less Doug Ellen. He didn't write more Doug Ted Ellen Foxman. He wrote less Doug Ellen.
I can't like take that as a compliment. Like, hey, Ted, way to go, ratchet it up a little bit.
Yeah, Dave, this is so loud. I'm going to go deaf, and that'll be the end of it. And then there will be less Doug Ellen. So anyway, for that guy, I know you're listening. I know that you're obsessed with me. I know that you want to be me. I understand that, and that's sad for you, not me. But get off the Apple reviews, because I will fucking find you and crush you, you fucker.
All right.
So anyway,
Cut that off of our chest.
I'm clearly agitated today because
you are. What's going on with
you? We're supposed to do a live podcast in Phoenix on Saturday night. Kevin Dillon has COVID, and I've spent the last 3 hours with Connolly and Sean Avery, who I love, and you should check out his podcast, trying to discuss what we should do. And honestly, what I said to Kevin Connolly is, which people may hate it, less Doug Ellen would not work in this regard, but I said, Connolly, let's just go, me and you. We can do this. We can tell great stories. We can do it. And, you know, we'll bring the cardboard cut out of Dillon. We'll put a little couple of clips up, and I believe it would be a good show. But I don't even know if the club will have that, by the way. They may say we won't take that. But anyway, it's been 3 hours of that. That's going on. I also, I don't know. What's going on with you? Give me some.
Well, that's stressful. I hate to see you suffering like that, because I know you like to deliver for people, especially your fans. And when you're in a place that is 48 hours away from a show and you have a, you know, I guess it's a sign of the times we're living in, but
yeah, people have bought tickets.
Yeah,
and you know, people have made travel arrangements, and it's upsetting and it's uncomfortable. And we canceled shows last year for different similar reasons. And it's enough. You have to, unfortunately, in this business, you have to show up. You just have no options.
I had people DMing me on Instagram asking if I was going to be there with you guys.
Really?
You know, you coming down too? And I was like, no, I wasn't planning to do that.
We'll replace Kevin Dillon with Ted Foxman. Can you do a Victory?
I mean, I can certainly talk about episodes and talk about what I love, but I'm not Kevin Dillon, so I'm definitely not the guy who can replace him.
I think Kevin Connolly's heading to the booth. Is that him?
Uh-oh.
Oh, my God. What is happening here?
Hang on. Breaking news.
I got an update.
Oh.
I got an update.
Whoa.
How do you even know what we're talking about right now? But anyway, go ahead.
So maybe we shouldn't say this on. Maybe we don't need to say this on the air.
No, say it. Edit it later.
So spoke to Dillon.
Okay.
And Dillon is suggesting, what if he does it in a glass box on the stage?
By the way, I love that. You got to do that.
By the way, it's the funniest thing I've ever heard. But again, I don't think he's contagious by that time. But
he doesn't think that he can pull a negative test by Saturday.
I mean, he doesn't need a negative test. This is the world. After 5 days of isolation, you are free to go about your business. This is not a union shop. But I would love him in a glass booth, like John Travolta, the boy in the plastic.
It would be hilarious.
Southwest Airlines, right?
It would be hilarious.
Official airlines of recovering COVID.
Glass box on the stage. He's open to it.
I mean,
he's like, it was his idea. I said, well, just you in a glass box is just funny, regardless. And I said, it'll be great for the meet and greets.
Yeah, I mean,
we'll all have to get around.
Yeah, like the boy in the bubble
around the glass box and take pictures with Dillon.
So he's feeling better.
No.
I mean, he will be on probably day 10 or 11 of COVID. He is fine to travel. He is fine to be on a stage. And me, who is terribly paranoid about getting my baby sick with COVID, has no fear of being near Kevin Dillon on Saturday. Zero. So I would put him in a – you know, look, we talked about this earlier. Hearts of Darkness is a great documentary about the making of Apocalypse Now. Martin Sheen, who stars in Ramble On and was in Apocalypse Now, he had a heart attack on the set. And Francis Ford Coppola, who had put all his money into this movie, said, I don't care if he's dead. Prop a stick up his ass and put him on the set. So I would take any Dylan. Like, it's like Avery on the ice. If you can get Sean Avery on the ice, if you get 25% of his health, you take it. So I would take Dylan at any level.
All right. Well, we'll reassess when you guys are out of the room, because the deal is not closed yet. It's going to take a little. It's going to take further discussions. But
all right. But I think
who's going to make the glass box?
Yeah, that's the biggest problem.
That should be really easy.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, what's it made out of? I mean, maybe
plexiglass. No, if you did like a 3-sided box.
Maybe you can call those guys on that show Tanked, and they can make a little fish tank for Dylan.
Or we have everyone in the audience wear hazmat suits.
Kevin,
maybe we make
Kevin Dylan in a glass box on the stage because he doesn't want to give people COVID is the funniest thing I've ever heard in my time.
It might be the ultimate timeout.
Can we make victory hazmat suits by Saturday night? Because I think it's genius. I mean, by the way, I hate to even say this to Ted, and Ted's welcome on to victory. This should be a victory podcast right now. Like, this is major, major stuff for our people. And you need to
that's the other thing, too. We got to say this. Like, Dylan is back in the game, and he's, like, open for discussions, and I need another brain on this one. I need some help.
I believe that we get him there any way we can, even if Stocktip has to drive him to Phoenix. We get him there. We fucking liquefy this motherfucker with every ounce of water, orange juice, chicken noodle soup.
Put Dave in a hazmat suit and drive him out.
By the way, great content. We filmed that entire drive. I am all for this. I think it's the right move. I think, but a couple things have to happen right now, which is why we're in real time. This
Didn't
is
you
exciting.
Already cancel the show?
Well, Connolly posted a story that we canceled already.
You said we need to post that it's canceled, and I quote, immediately.
But
in
Mike
all
August,
letters.
Mike August sent, Mike August, who's our producer, sent a message like, we cannot cancel till we have a redate. So we need
Stock
to.
Dave, Stock Tip Dave canceled his plane ticket, so maybe he's going to have no choice but to drive Dylan. I think Dylan, he honestly, I spoke to him. He's just like wondering what he's going to have in the tank. You know, I think it's coming in waves for him.
Yeah.
So I think that, like, I don't know. I just think a glass box would be hilarious because it also says that he's limited. He's limited in playing time. There's only so much he can do. Look at him. He's in a glass box.
I think it's the greatest thing ever, but I'm serious. I think time is of the essence. You need to remove that story, and you need to call Mike August and say, we're working on Dylan. I'm still waiting. Did Mike August respond to me doing it without Dylan? Nope. I don't think they want just Kevin Connolly and I, sadly. So I think this is the greatest idea I've heard in a long time. I actually like him in a glass box because sometimes Dylan tends to spit when you're on the stage with him. So I would prefer him to be
when you guys wrap this up, we'll go back and we'll talk about it. We'll figure it out.
An actual barrier.
All right. It's very exciting news. But take that story down for the moment, please. All right.
Promising.
Wow, this is exciting stuff going on at Action Park.
It's very, very difficult to stay focused in this kind of environment where one day I'm getting whipped around going, it's canceled. The next hour it's on. I don't know what to do.
This would be really,
I'm not going either way, but have a good
this
time.
This would be really a great episode of Ramble On, by the way. Everything that's happening right now.
100%.
So hopefully we'll get that going. And we have absolutely no updates, as insane as that is. And I know what's weird is I get a bunch of messages from people when they listen to me talk on this show, and then they come in how they're going to help. Listen, I just need everyone to understand. We will either sell this show in February or the show will not be sold, and we will go another track, correct? We will try to figure out the
100%.
All right. So we don't. Nobody needs to tell me.
We have a very,
else.
Very promising. I mean, look. Obviously, I want the show to happen, but I'll be just as excited about our plan B.
Okay. All right. Our plan B is to sell celluloid of Charlie Sheen frames for $100,000 a piece. Anyway, the show's great. I spoke to Charlie last night. By the way, he's got some exciting things happening in his life, which I can't talk about right now.
Yeah.
But it'll be in the press shortly. All right. What else can we talk about?
Well, obviously, you know, look, we're here, and everybody that's been listening for updates, like, the update is that we're waiting for an update. Like, we are stuck in this waiting limbo ourselves. It's not a question of whether or not the show is great. We have a top tier agency and the head of that agency helping us out and looking and talking to people. That feedback from him was, he loves it. So, And they're looking to set up all the meetings and, you know, get the process started. So
I showed the show to Jeremy Piven last night. He loved it.
Oh.
Yeah, I was actually trying to get Jeremy to sit in for Dylan, but he unfortunately cannot go. He's in post on a he's got a movie that he produced and starred in that sounds really interesting, too, which I won't spoil that either.
Sweet.
But he really liked the show. All right, what else? You had tidbits, allegedly, that you wanted to talk about.
Well, I believe you had some interesting activity yesterday. You were struggling a little bit to hide an activity.
Oh, you mean when I got in trouble with Sarah?
Yeah. So maybe you want to share that with the audience because this is a
okay,
fun
but
story.
I want this, but it goes into deeper things that are part of the business. And, you know, I'm living this life, which is one of the things of being in Hollywood. It is such an unstable existence, often financially, which fortunately, financially, I'm okay. But I have a new child, so those stresses come in. But anyway, what used to happen with my ex-wife, who's a great woman, when I was 22 years old and didn't have $3 in the bank and was trying to figure out what to do with my life, I'm not a person that, you know, and my ex-wife and Sarah, I believe, will tell you, although maybe not after yesterday, that I'm not like someone you have to worry about lying or being up to no good. But I used to go to the movies by myself all the time. And my
back when you were with your
back
ex-wife.
Then. And my ex-wife worked. So she was like making money. And I was this loser who didn't have anything
struggling
to do.
Writer.
Yeah. And like I thought, or at least I used it as a procrastination tool, going to great movies was
inspirational
or whatever it is. But, you know, when you're in that relationship and you're not supposed to go to a movie without your significant other.
Remember those days.
Maybe
I don't care about those days anymore, but I do remember.
Maybe that doesn't even exist anymore because people don't go to the movies. But back then it was like, you can't go see that movie without me. And I got caught with like a ticket once, like in my pocket. And it was like a major
ordeal. Like lipstick on the collar?
Yeah, a little bit for me.
Stub.
And now in this new world where I'm not working and Sarah's stuck with the baby and – the truth is, short of doing this show, meaning Ramble On, I don't care to. I'm not going to work anymore. That'll be the end of it. I will retire and you know.
Oh, say it
I'll,
ain't
I'll
so.
Live off the land. But the point is, pickleball is my life. Okay, I'm not going to make any money at it ever. Although I do own the Chicago Slice, so they may be valuable.
You own a slice of the slice.
But so yesterday, Sarah left me alone with the baby for the first time, which I actually remember when my ex-wife left me alone with my son for the first time. And it's, you know, I'm look, it's 2023. We're all supposed to be fluid and helpful and this and that. But there are certain types of men and certain types of women, by the way, that just aren't meant to be alone with the baby for extended periods of time. They're just not – they're not capable. It's not
like,
good for the baby.
Wait, did you leave him alone with the baby?
Yeah, it's not good for the baby. By the way, I spoke to Tyler, who's a big movie producer who did the podcast. And we're talking about working with him on Ramble On. He's got four kids. I said, how often are you just alone, just you and the children? He goes, no.
No, I don't do that.
Yeah, no, he goes, no, that wouldn't be good for anybody. And that's how I feel about me. I think the baby was even looking at me like, are we good right now? This doesn't seem like
she was right. Like, I don't know if this is what I want.
Yeah. So, but anyway, Sarah comes back. I had 2 hours and 37 minutes. I timed it. alone with
minute.
The baby. And the baby, you know, I'm a very hands-on dad when I'm there. And I'm there. You know I'm there. But so every time I put her down, she started crying.
The likelihood of you being there is very high.
It's
the likelihood
high.
Of you not being there is low.
But the likelihood of me being there alone is very low also.
Yes.
So, but anyway, I'm there and I'm walking with her. And every time I put her down, she starts to cry. So I'm carrying her. So I was just walking back and forth in the kitchen the entire time Sarah was gone for 2 hours and 37 minutes. Okay. And when Sarah comes back, I wanted to show her my activity, okay? So I give her my phone, my Aura Ring that I love, shows my steps. And I did over 2 miles in my kitchen. And I left Sarah with my phone because I'm in a relationship where I don't have to hide my phone, where there is nothing to hide, but there is. So I go inside, and by the way, I'm doing the same day. I'm like, I'm in my, I'm supposed to be going to Connolly's to talk about the live show that may be canceled now and prepare for it. But I'm putting on my ankle bracelets and I'm doing all these stupid things, whatever. But Sarah comes in, and it's legitimately, if you wrote this scene like someone who cheated on their spouse, it would play exactly like this. She looks at me and goes, what'd you do yesterday?
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, my heart sank. I'm like, and I was supposed to be at Connolly's all day. And I got up at like.
And that's what you told her you were doing.
That's what I told her I was doing. But I didn't exactly lie. I left out the thing. Now, I left. Listen, Some of it is on Sarah. I left the house at like 7:15 in the morning. She knows Connolly's not up at 7:15 in the morning. So yeah. I was gone, but I was in, you know.
But you could be, you know, sneaking over for a Courage bagel or something like that.
I could be doing that, and but I was in athletic gear. But anyway, I went and played just 90 quick, excellent minutes of pickleball, by the way. I look good. But anyway, so I played pickleball, but I left it out. And then, like, as soon as I was done with pickleball, I'm like, you know, I overcompensate. I'm like, hey, need me to grab anything later coming home? You know,
yeah,
like,
there
I'm
you
doing
go.
All the thing. Like,
and she's like, what is going on?
Yeah, like I have a woman or something like that. So she goes, what'd you do yesterday? And I'm like, I know I'm in trouble, but I'm like, what kind of trouble am I reeling in? But what do I do now? Do I just, like, how does she know? And what does she know? And what is she implying?
Yeah, what is it?
Yeah, so I'm like, I might have played pickleball. Why? And she looked at me. She's like, I'm really glad you told me because, you know, you handed me your phone with your steps, and I just happened to flip to yesterday, and you did like 22 and a half miles while you were allegedly at Connolly's office working on the live show. So I was caught. So if you're doing bad things.
So was she suspicious of the whole thing, and she went looking for it, or she accidentally tapped to go backwards?
She accidentally tapped it. She doesn't go through my phone. But by the way, she has full access to go through my phone. I could care less. But the real deeper point to this is, and there is one, because it is what I was saying before. When you're in an unstable business, it's 2023. So as a working person who believes in work and wants to do things and wants to deliver, you know, productivity to life and to the community. And
are we talking about you still?
I'm talking about
okay.
You. Like, it's embarrassing to, like, I got
to
nothing
say
to
say I've
do.
Got nothing to do but play pickleball and lie about it.
Yeah, and I'm just going to, but I'm going to leave you with the baby to go play pickleball. You can't go play pickleball. By the way, I resent her that she has not played more pickleball. So, anyway, that's a whole different story. But my point is like, when you're in this business, you can often, even with me having a good amount of money that I can probably live for a while on, you start to feel insecure, and you're not really delivering, and you're not really doing anything, and I'm in a kind of helpless mode right now. There's not much I can do. And some people say, well, go write something else. I'm telling you, I have a great show, a show that is going to be on the air at some point.
Yeah.
I'm not going to deliver something better than this right now. And this is done. I went through all the steps. I have no interest in writing a script and handing it out to people. To be honest with you, I never did because I always saw myself as a filmmaker, not just a writer. So I would always prefer, and I've often recommended other people who are writers, if you can direct as well or produce as well, get it done. So you're not just showing black and white pages, which, you know, I think my words come to life when I get it done with all the things that I see in my head that they may not see on the page. Some writers are able to put it all on the page. It's clear. John Hughes was definitely one of those, you know, who wrote 16 Candles, Breakfast Club, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, etc. Yeah, like people used to read his scripts and say they were perfect and whatever. Mine have never been read and said perfect, and I always get the same thing. Thank God I didn't get it from you, but I usually get when they see the stuff that they read earlier, they go, oh my God, it's so much better than I thought it was going to be, which you can take it as an insult, but it's exactly how I saw it was going to be. And, you know, it's one of the catch-22s. And it also brings me to the thing, if you can do things alone, which I try to tell my kids now, if you can make your money by yourself where you don't have to count on anybody else, that's the way to do it. And even with these live shows, which I can't blame Kevin Dillon for getting COVID, though I do. But the point is that I have to count on three people being healthy, not just myself.
Right.
And when you're doing a show, I have to count on 250 people. I also have to count on none of them deciding that they're scumbags and want to sue me for garbage, you know? So,
yeah.
Which we're going to have to address soon as well, Ted. So,
yeah. Okay.
So hopefully you're going to deal with that. And that's my spiel.
So you got you got busted playing pickleball and lying about it. Mm-hmm. So 22 years ago or before Entourage, you're a guy struggling, going to the movies by yourself, hiding it. 23 years later, you've had the big show, but you're right
and
back.
Some other things.
You're right back to where you started from. You're lying and going to the movies without saying it.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Brother.
Yeah. The difference.
No progress.
The difference is the pickleball is not inspiring me to work.
Yeah.
It's inspiring me to play more pickleball. So
yeah,
it's not really
I get that.
It's not really helping me. But
it's health. It keeps you healthy, and that's important at your age.
Yeah. Yes. It is.
Man, I'd love to get Sarah's take on that.
You know, I think she was just like, I think Sarah, she's a very, She's not a ball buster at all. She's a very nice person. She doesn't like lies, and I don't blame her. But I think
you didn't lie. You just left it out.
I mean, whatever it is, I think it's, you know, it would be better to just say I'm going to play pickleball. But I did. And I told her, I said, I just feel like you give me a look when I walk out, which I could be imagining. But you give me that look like, oh,
you give yourself the look. I hold myself in contempt.
But you have a full life. Oh, go enjoy yourself. And I have to sit here with the baby. And the truth of the matter is, and I love this kid. I can't even tell you how much I love this kid. She is more capable of spending more time with an infant than I am.
And
by the way, I spent hours and hours and hours and hours. So I'm not, I don't want to make it like I'm off in Paris or anything like that. I went and played goddamn pickleball. Now leave me alone. Get off my ass.
Okay, well, we'll move on.
Yeah.
That's funny.
You got tidbits?
Well, I have a funny story about myself. So you were playing for health yesterday. I was feeling a little under the weather. And I'll tell you the reason why. You're shrugging like I've got something contagious. It's not contagious. Don't worry. It's not contagious.
But by the way, this is what Kevin said when he came to the studio a week ago.
I'm not Kevin. So last week I went to get a physical.
Yeah.
I haven't had one in a little while because of COVID.
Right.
And my numbers weren't so great because I've put on a little weight in the last 2 years.
Numbers meaning your cholesterol?
Yeah, my stuff has just kind of gone in the wrong direction. It's all trending negative instead of positive. So I really wanted to be able to get back in good shape and, you know, all that other stuff. But my doctor recommended something.
Lipitor.
No. He recommended a drug called Ozempic.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Whoa, that was a strong reaction.
Because now I'm annoyed, actually.
So what ends up happening is...
Can we explain this? Ozempic is a drug, and there's big controversy on it right now. Ozempic is a drug that can help people lose weight. And the argument by one side is that obesity, which you're not obese, but obesity is actually more of a condition than a mindset. And I'm not going to say that about certain people that I'm willing to argue about. Some people who are 400 or 500 pounds maybe should definitely take this Ozempic.
Yeah.
I know how you eat. I know how you are. And I find it disgraceful that someone would recommend that you take that drug. That's my opinion.
Well, so I appreciate that. So as we were sitting there, I was like, well, what's it for and what does it do? He goes, well, look, your numbers are trending, and at your age, I'm worried about you becoming pre-diabetic. My father had a heart attack before his 50th birthday, and I'm almost at that age. So he was like, I really want to get your numbers under control. So I'm putting this – I want you to take this for a couple of months, see what it does. He goes, one of the byproducts is it might help you lose weight. Now, the controversy –
You mean the byproduct? That's what it's for.
No. It's a diabetic. It's a pre-diabetes drug.
I mean, it's a weight loss drug.
No, people are now using it as a weight loss drug.
I watched an entire 60 Minutes
because
on it
that
two
was
weeks ago. It is a weight loss drug, and now, again, which is what happens in this country.
Well, that's what they're doing.
But what happens
they're
in this country.
They're repurposing it.
These fucking doctors, they get fucking paid to recommend this stuff to people. And again, there are people who may need it because they can't stop. I watch you chomp down fucking potato chips. You can stop because I was a chomp down potato chip guy, and now I'm eating two mushes a day, and I had my physical best numbers I've had in 10 years.
Yeah.
So I know you can do it, and
yeah,
you also don't play tennis anymore.
Yeah. So what's crazy about this is because of the way people are using this instead of for its purpose, you can't get the drug. So you call CVS, and the guy says, sorry, I can't fill your prescription today. It's a long-term back order. And I said, what's a long-term back order? He goes, well, we ordered more a month ago. We still haven't even gotten the date of when we'll get it. Because people are using this all over. You can probably Google a lot of celebrities in town that are
suddenly
losing
weight.
But you're
one of those people that does not need this drug.
I didn't go to seek the drug.
No, I get it.
Right? I went
I'm
for
not mad at you. I'm mad at your doctor.
I get it. Well, I don't know if you have the right to be mad at him because he's the doctor. But he's not a guy. He's not the kind of guy who's going to put you on something because he wants you to try it out and see if it works. Or, hey, I complained about weight. That's not why I was there. I was there for a physical. He was concerned about my numbers, and he wanted to make sure my numbers are under control.
But doesn't he say get on a fucking treadmill and start eating properly?
I am on that. Like, I've worked out – today's Thursday. I've worked out 3 days. Today is actually the only day I haven't worked out. So what's crazy is you can't get it. But I have a friend who owns a pharmacy, mm-hmm. was able to get it for me, and I took the first dose. I'm on the lowest possible dose you can possibly get. I took the first dose not yesterday, the night before, thinking, I'll take it at night. You know, I'll deal with it at home. Yesterday, I could barely, like, I was actually nauseous that I had no appetite.
Right.
And I was lucky I had a one of those anti-nausea pills that you get when you have, you know, surgery or whatever. And I took that and everything was fine. And now I'm feeling better. But so it's not contagious. But I was shocked at what's going on with this drug and all the things that are happening.
I'm just telling you, why do you think you're different than any of those celebrities? They all have the same thing. They're overweight. And they're having bad numbers. So instead of people saying, and again, I am judging you because you're very similar to me. We like to eat shit. I've changed my diet radically in 2 years. It hasn't been that hard. It's all about starting it in the daytime.
Yeah.
And I mean, in the morning, first meal, and not sitting there with your chips all day, and getting back on the tennis court. Like, you need to be fucking not.
I played tennis on Monday.
Look, I'm not arguing with you. I'm telling you absolute facts. You can get in shape and get your numbers down naturally on your own. And this is a brand new thing that they're giving everybody. And after it was on 60 Minutes, which I found it really awful that they're suggesting that some people cannot lose weight. There may be some. That's not most. Most people I know, I watch them. When they drink, when they eat French fries all day, they're fat. When they don't, they get skinny. Like, it's not that fucking complicated for most people. So, and you know, what I know about that drug is it's extremely expensive. That's the real reason that a lot of people can't take it who may need it. Really obese people who, by the way, who don't have time to get themselves in shape, who don't have the money to buy all the healthy shit that costs a fortune. So you don't need that shit.
Yeah.
Tell your doctor he's a jerk off.
Okay. Should I call him now or should I wait till after?
I mean, I just can't believe it. You're like literally like 10 pounds overweight. It's ridiculous.
No, I'm more than that. I hide it pretty well, but I'm more than that. I could afford to lose. Well, put it like this. I had a house before that had a tennis court. I used to play 4 to 5 days a week.
Yeah.
2 hours at a crack.
Yeah.
Since then, I've put on 20 pounds.
Okay. And how were your numbers a year ago when you were doing that? 2 years ago? Okay. Kevin Connolly.
How's it going?
Tell us. Oh, boy. Sounds like you've been drinking.
I wish. Maybe that's a good idea. What time is it?
I don't know.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Do you have anything?
I do not. We'll be waiting Doug Allen's input. And
wait, is this a new email at 2:58 p.m.? Lisa Gallant, Kevin Dillon's manager, just texted me that he's happy to be on a Zoom. Is this new?
I don't know, bro. It's hard to keep up with all the emails.
Happy to be on a Zoom about what?
We'll dig in.
Okay, well, I see. I didn't realize the email, which I probably should. The email where I said, let's do this show without Dillon this weekend, was also his manager was on that as well, so I didn't realize that. But Mike August has not responded to me, so I don't think the venue of Stand Up Live in Phoenix is very excited about Kevin Connolly and I coming there. So
interesting.
Maybe. Yeah.
Well, listen, I think you're going to, when we wrap up here, you're going to have a quick call with Dillon, and then we'll all decide.
I mean, all right. Well,
what? All right. I mean, is he willing to do the glass box?
Yeah. I mean, you know, listen. I think that's hilarious. But you know, it's like, dude, I've called. I'm out of calls, bro. I called everybody. It's just like, you got to get in the game.
I want to try to paint the picture for everybody because Connolly is.
I think you've been a little hard on me for the last couple of days.
Connolly is.
Just you.
Connolly is...
How's he been to you, Ted?
he wants to murder my doctor.
Connolly, he's actually... It's actually tough to see because Connolly's a little feisty little fucker and he's sad. And it's upsetting to see. And
This one took the wind out of me, bro.
And as my brother, I hate it. And the problem is...
What are you sad about? That he can't make it or that he's not feeling well?
You know, it just doesn't have to be like this. And you know, life is whatever, but
you know, we put a lot of time and effort into all this stuff and obviously anyone can get sick and whatever, but you know, you have to figure out ways to maximize your health when you have a job and this unfortunately, this is our Super Bowl. This is the only one we're doing this year of this live show. And there's people who've purchased tickets and there's people who like it. And again, short of being unable to stand up, you got to figure out a way to go.
I mean,
so that's my feeling on it. And, You know, I had COVID in Aspen, and if you forced me to go on a stage, I would have been able to do it.
It's just hard. It's just hard to weigh it because, you know, he's definitely sick, you know, and again, I don't know. Everybody's different.
But he's also 48 hours away. He could be great tomorrow. He could be great Saturday morning. I mean, this thing changes quickly, especially now that he's taking medication. So I don't know. It's. But either way, my feeling is I'm happy to talk to Dylan. I'm not going to sell him on this. I think we should be moving for, if the venue will have us, we should just be like, we're coming, and it'll be over, and hopefully we'll put on a good show. I believe Sean Avery just listened to Connelly and I tell some stories. He was laughing. He was enjoying it. And I think the audience would as well. So that's my feeling. All right, what else, Kevin Connelly? What else?
That's it. Let me know when you guys are done.
Nothing I hate more than my friends.
Well, it sounds like you got a lot of stuff to take care of.
Do you have any more tidbits?
Short window. I just want to give a shout out to one of our fans that hit us up with some recommendations from our last episode. His name is Mike Griffiths. He's out in London, just outside of London.
So, what did he recommend?
He recommended a show called Slow Horses.
Oh, I've
heard. Gary Oldman.
Yeah, I've heard of
it. It's an Apple show. I have not watched it yet, but he recommended it based on our tastes and everything. So we're going to try and
Yeah, I got to talk about some stuff that we got to watch because everyone's telling me Fauda Season 4 is so incredible.
Yeah, I think I'm on 5 or 6 of it.
Oh, it's great?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's all the same. Like, it's just great stuff. Great characters, great action, all of it.
But what do you mean all the same?
Well, I mean, it's the show is like, you know, I hate to be a spoiler. Like,
don't tell us information.
No, I mean, it's a secret group of Israeli, intelligence officers, and they're fighting, you know, against terrorism.
But why do you say it's all the same? What does that mean?
Well, it's the same theme. I mean, they're on a new adventure trying to track people down.
Okay, but some seasons are better than others. 24 had some better seasons.
No, it's great.
And worse seasons.
It's great.
I don't know. I mean, everybody liked all.
No, it's completely solid. It's a great show.
All right, and Shrinking, which I haven't watched more of, but I've heard that. Pickleball is on Shrinking. Have you watched
any
more Shrinking?
It is.
Oh, you love Shrinking.
No, I don't love Shrinking. Pickleball was on Shrinking.
Stock tip, have you watched more Shrinking?
I have not watched the third one. I saw the beginning of it, but no, I have not watched it.
It's great. It's great, dude. And
I did watch it.
And better, worse, same? You're just like...
Well, I don't know that it would change your opinion of the thing.
There's
no way
it would change
my opinion. But I think it's a slightly different... Yeah, you're very
committed
rigid
to my opinion. So do you like it? I mean, again, I've seen shows where I go, you know what? Wow, this thing just hit a whole other level. Or like
hit any whole other
that
level.
That show on... I told you to watch that show on Peacock, which was... Like the first three episodes, which were similar in theme kind of to, I'm blanking on the name of that show. But, you know, the fake reality show that's amazing. Nelson for You, is that what it was called? It's phenomenal that I talked about forever.
You mean the first one you did?
What's the HBO show where he creates that crazy reality world?
With the babies and...
Yeah.
I can't remember.
It's genius. Nathan For You.
Nathan For You.
Is brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. So Peacock had this show that I had no idea if it was real or fake. Does anyone know the name of that show? Like Keith Golden or something like that? Or
yeah, David? It's like Dave Goldschmidt.
We probably should do some research. That fucking guy is right. Les Doug Ellen. I don't know what else to tell you. But that show, the first three episodes were like unbelievable. And I was telling everyone to watch it. And then all of a sudden it fell off a cliff.
Yeah.
And so that happened. So did Shrinking get better to you? The same? Worse?
No, I think it's probably the same.
All right. Was the pickleball done in any way that was interesting? Or?
Absolutely not.
Okay. All right. So what
else? He plays with his best friend who he's been estranged from since his wife passed away. And that's about it.
Sounds great.
Okay. Nothing that I would go, oh, this is for all you pickleball fans out there. It's just
I mean, it's amazing that
it's just a sign of the times.
Everybody's doing pickleball and it's killing me because I am going to do it right on Ramble On. I know how to do it like I did ping pong on Entourage when I became obsessed with ping pong. I know this world and I know how to do it right. Now, this documentary, which I will actually be in, Larry David's wife did a documentary about pickleball. She's shooting right now. I just did that. And I did talk about this before Sarah caught me in the lie.
Yeah.
I said to her, there's nothing like this sport. It's a drug. Everyone I know becomes addicted to it. They go around. They try to find random people to introduce them to other random people where they could meet up with people. It's creepy almost. And I said to her before Sarah's situation, I said, I'm like lying to people like that I'm going to play pickleball because it's all I really enjoy doing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it.
Well,
You have more tidbits?
I don't have any more tidbits.
I thought you had five. You've only done two.
I've done a few. We've gone through. We did have a fan who reached out to us from Australia.
Okay, love Australia.
And he was like, can you please come do a live show in Australia? I would love to go to Australia. You know that I was trying to go last month, but it was very last minute to see the Australian Open.
Yeah.
So if we can arrange that.
I was supposed to go see Sam Querrey right before the pandemic. Then the pandemic happened. And we're supposed to do live shows in Australia. But, you know, our live shows, we canceled a bunch last time because we just, I don't know. I would really like to do them because I enjoy it. I'm not cursed, but like I said, you have to work alone if you want to be able to do whatever you want. If you don't work alone, you have to count on everybody else, and then it's up in the air what's going to happen. So
I hear you.
Tidbits are over. That's it. You're done.
That's all I got.
Ramble on.
Ramble on.